Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We are in Visalia, North Visalia, and we're with a good friend of mine, Kenny Hildebrand. He owns Kawea Brewing Company. He started actually in Tulare, and his brewery is actually located in Tulare, just south of Visalia. For those of you who listened to the podcast before, and if you're national or international, you know that we sit at the bottom of the Sequoia National Park. So when you come into Visalia, you stay in one of the hotels before you get up to the park. We want you to come by Kawea Brewing Company. So Kenny Hildebrand and Kawea Brewing Company just opened up a new brewery in Visalia. Actually, it's a restaurant and has all the beers on taps. You can have like 20 different beers on tap. So you probably are wondering, what on earth are you guys talking about beer? Well, look, it's the day after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. And I thought it would be interesting to do something fun. Everybody's worried about impeachment and Russians and now Ukrainians. And I thought maybe it'd just be nice to just, let's just learn about some cool things that are going on around the entire country with breweries popping up everywhere. With some really high quality beer. And I think there's just more to beer than just kind of that watered down stuff that you see in bulk at the stores. And I'll tell you, I got introduced to kind of the finer beers in life through Kenny. And actually, it was Kenny's father, now passed away, but has a pizza parlor. Kenny still runs the pizza place here in Visalia. And Kenny started brewing beers about two decades ago and was having people try them in the pizza parlor. And I remember going with my uncle. It was, I think, the first high-end beers I ever had were the ones, Kenny, that you made in your backyard, in your garage, that you would have people try at the pizza parlor nearly 20 years ago with my uncle, like I said. So thank you for welcoming us here today, having my podcast here. Also, you know, for all the people that are around, I want to keep this fun and light. I want people to learn about beer. But first of all, how did you get into this?
Well, first of all, thank you for being out here today and relaxing a little bit, you know. And
well, you're going to make some impeachment beer in my honor, right?
We could. Let's do that. But you got to be part of it.
Okay.
No, you know, we were just looking for good beer. You know, 20 years ago, it was pretty hard to get, you know, really good beer, especially here in the Valley. You could get some in the back on the West Coast or in the East Coast and the West Coast and bigger cities. But here in the Central Valley, we just didn't really get anything. So the only way to do it is you can't get it, you make it.
And it's an art, right? I mean, this is, you know, people, you know, don't realize that making both beer and wine, I mean, just like food, this is all an art, and it's a passion of love for you, right? I mean, because you made probably batches of beer that were awful.
Oh, yeah.
And then you started to get better over time. And so what was kind of your first breakthrough? When I first went to the pizza parlor, how did you eventually break through and say, okay, I think I'm making some really good beer, which you do, and the different types of beer? What finally made you decide, like, look, I'm going to actually make a go of this. Like, I'm going to start my own brewery. What was that tipping point for you?
When my wife kicked me out of the house for saying this house is just full of yeast starters and, you know, we got stuff in the bathtub fermenting and she couldn't park her car in the garage. Yep, it was time for me to get out of the house and go do something with it.
You were just making beer for your friends, right? I mean, you weren't really, yeah. You weren't selling it. I mean, you were having people try it in the pizza parlor.
Yeah, it was a hobby and it was fun. And it wasn't even in the pizza parlor so much. I mean, it was everywhere. Whether it was in the neighbors coming over from out of the garage or, you know, or taking, like, you know, to somebody, a family member or something, here, try this, you know, what do you think? And it was more of a trying to get an excitement and a rise out of somebody, you know, like, wow, this is really good. That was my goal. I didn't need to sell, you know, I didn't want to sell it then.
So we've done the podcast from 559 Brewery. You're friends with all these local breweries around here that are popping up all over the San Joaquin Valley. And I don't want to miss any. I know there's a Rocky Hill that's just nearby here, Exeter on the way to Sequoia National Park. What are the other ones?
We got Riley's up in Madera. We have Incinerati. Right? We have, oh my gosh, you put me on the spot. There's tons of them, you know.
And they're all friends. You guys are all buddies, and you guys all trade your secrets. You guys try each other's beers. But this is happening all over the country. Like everywhere that I go, I was on the road in Pennsylvania and Ohio and North Carolina. Everybody's got their own local brew now. You know, if I ever have a beer when I'm out and about in the local communities, I want to try the local beer. I don't want the big national beer anymore. Yep. I don't even want the regional beer. I want to know what the Kinneys of the world are producing in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's the phenomenon. You know, there's something north of 7,000 breweries across the nation now, and over half of those are the Kinneys. They're the small guys making, you know, less than 1,000 barrels a year.
And so when you started, we were talking about before we started in the 80s, roughly how many breweries were there in the U.S.? It was just a few dozen, right?
Yeah, it was just like maybe 25 or something.
It was like Coors and Anheuser-Busch.
Yep, and then you had like Sierra Nevada, and you had some Stone, and you had Sam Adams. You know, the big guys now, those are the guys that were coming up, and those are the
little higher-end beers, the guys that started regionally to make higher-end beers.
And they all started in their garage, too.
Right, right. Okay, so now 7,500, 8,000 breweries across the country. Every community now has one. So for the person who doesn't know anything about beer at all, and I'll try not to talk here because I'll probably screw something up, but essentially all beers fall under two categories, correct?
That is correct. You either have an ale or you have a lager, and that's it.
So let's run through the ales first. So what are the different types of ales that people have heard about?
So ales, first of all, they're fermented warmer. So when I say warm, it's still chilly to us. It's, you know, 64, 68 degrees, somewhere in there is where that ale yeast likes to ferment at. And you get your blonde ales, you get your brown ales, you know, the stouts. I would say now is majority of the beers on the shelves are ales. Being that they're fermented a little warmer, you get a little more fuller flavor. You can get your phenols and all that good stuff. And without getting too geeked out on science here, you get a little more flavor profile. You can bring in the nuances of fruit and have fun with it. Whereas a lager is more of like your pilsners, your big, light, fizzy yellow beer.
So as a rule, lagers are lighter.
Yes. When they ferment easy and they're nice and easy, it's like us working in the yard. Nice, cool day. We're not putting off much, you know, odor. You're working in an air-conditioned office. You're nice when you get done. When you're out working on the farm, you know, you're hot and sweaty at the end of the day, but you got a lot of odor. And that sounds bad, but that's really what's happening with an ale versus a...
So a lager is more of what you want to have when you're out barbecuing. You want something a little lighter. It's real hot outside during the summer.
Typically a little less alcohol. You can sit down and have more.
Lager, pilsner, and what would be the other types? What are the popular types of lagers that there are?
So, I mean, most of them are just your pilsners. You know, that's probably the biggest.
I'm going to sound really silly here, but pilsners, seems to me like when people talk about pilsners, they're talking about the beers that originate, like those are like German, like you always hear about a German pilsner.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, the Germans and Belgians, I think most people acknowledge, have probably some of the best beers in the world. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. They actually have a law, the Rheingebot law, and you can only put hops, yeast, water, and barley in that beer. That's it. If you put anything else in it, it's against the law. They take their
beer. That's why they keep the quality.
Sure. Whereas here, I mean, you can put rice, you can put corn. Some of the big guys, you know, they'll bring in train loads of corn and rice to water it down and get the mileage out of their beer.
Well, I know we're not going to bring a train load of corn here because it's not going to fit in your restaurant.
That's correct.
So what would be the difference? Because I've had rice beers. I mean, the Japanese make rice beers, right? And then you've got
sake,
wheat beers, and then you've got corn. I mean, other than the U.S., anybody else use corn that you're aware of?
You know, I couldn't even answer that correctly. I wouldn't even know. But I would assume that the big productions in foreign countries would also probably use corn and rice. Mm-hmm. Also
of the big producers.
Of the big producers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you flirted with rice beers at all?
We haven't really gone down that line yet. We're still playing with the barleys and we do have one of our beers that we put corn in just a little bit, but that's because how much corn do we grow in the area? So we do that for a local beer because we put some corn in it.
What about wheat beers? Have you done any wheat beers before?
We do use a wheat beer, or we do use wheat in quite a few of our beers, actually. Gives a little bit of body and gives it some head retention, actually, so it looks pretty.
Let's start with the beers that you make here, right? So you start with your lighter, you do your blonde ale, and you do a brown ale. Walk through the beers that you are kind of your staple beers that your customers always want, like your top five or six or seven beers.
Our lightest beers are blonde ale. That's called Never Say Never, and because I said I would never brew a blonde ale, and so never say never. chocolate cow is a, you know, we're dairy capital of the world, so we got to have a little bit of lactose in one of our beers. So we put a little bit of lactose in that and gives it a nice creamy sweet flavor.
And that's a stout.
And that's a stout. We call it a milk stout. And then we have a brown ale, and everybody asks.
That's the one that I drink. I just put it on Instagram earlier this week.
Yeah. And as this is a common name of brown ale, but it has a good, I mean, if you were blind and you wanted to know what the color brown was like, you'd just taste that and you could, it would give you the example of brown. Mm-hmm. IPAs, mm-hmm. India Pale Ales, mm-hmm. and then we have a double IPA.
Let's talk about the IPAs, because they're higher in alcohol. What causes an IPA to be higher in alcohol?
We put more grain in it, more fermentables. So you get more sugar, which the yeast turns into alcohol. So say a typical batch of a blonde ale at 5% alcohol might have, say, 1,000 pounds of grain in it, whereas a 7% IPA would have 1,800 pounds of grain in it. And an IPA it's a hoppier beer. Hops are a natural preservative. So when the troops went from Britain down to India, the beer wouldn't make it down there on the ships. They figured out the way they would get it down there, they'd throw a bunch of hops on there to preserve the beer.
Higher alcohol.
You would get a higher alcohol, which would help preserve it, and then you'd get more hops on that beer. So when the troops all came back to Britain, they said, we don't want this pale ale. We want that pale ale we had in India, so we want an India pale ale. So then they started putting more hops in it back home. And then when that comes to the States, then we make it even bigger and badder. And then when it comes to the West Coast, then we really bastardize it and put it.
Is that the double IPA?
That would be a double IPA, West Coast style IPA.
So what's the double IPA? What's the difference?
Basically, you just take everything from a single IPA and you double it. It doesn't equate that way, but it's an imperial IPA. It's usually 7 to 8% and higher, gone all the way up to like 10%, 11%, 12% in alcohol.
So you make the ales. What are the lagers that you make?
We don't make any lagers.
None. Not even for the holidays.
Nope.
Because you have one now called the German. It's a stout, right? The German chocolate.
But that's because we toasted 80 pounds or so of coconut and teabagged a bunch of coconut down into that tank. And so you get the aroma and the flavor of the coconut out of there.
And that's just a holiday beer, right?
That's just a fun beer. Yep, that's what we do. We always kind of rotate and keep people guessing of what's coming up next. And that's the thing. I mean, you're across the nation, and that's what we're doing. That's why the local breweries are popping up in all these neighborhoods, because people can walk over from their house. They can go in and see what's new this week, or, you know, well, we had that one yesterday, but what's this one? And they're using local ingredients that's local to their community a lot of times. And it just becomes the public house for that neighborhood. And I think you're going to see more and more of that pop up across the nation.
Yeah, they keep going. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I travel a lot around the country. Everywhere I go, it seems like every restaurant now has got the local beer on tap from their one of their local producers. And I always ask for that one if I'm going to have a beer, just so I can try it out. Because, of course, I'm obviously proud of what you've done and your family, and you know, that I got to actually try those beers nearly two decades ago with my uncle, and now to see you here.
You might have spit a couple of them out, I think.
Probably so. We used to serve in those little tiny glasses, I remember, like little shot glasses.
Yep.
So everybody around the world, it's funny, when I always talk about my Canadian listeners. For some reason, I have a lot of Canadian listeners. What should the Canadians look for up there in Canada? You have any recommendations for them?
California craft beer.
Just come down, get out of Canada, come to California, try the beer.
Yeah, maybe.
Just kidding, Mike, to my Canadian friends. Kenny, thanks so much for everybody that's driving around out there on Black Friday. Hope you enjoyed this show. It's fun to be with good friends over the holidays, and of course, talking about beer. And I hope we kept it interesting. Kenny, congratulations and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Food's great, beer's great, and hopefully we'll be back here in the new year and do some more podcasts from the brewery here.
Awesome. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. It's Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams. It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We've started wondering if we even matter at all.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard working family can fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. Afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.